My name is Kevin Davis. I've been around the church for 29 years. Got baptized in the Bronx, became part of the Low Westchester ministry, and then transplanted here in Westchester, where I'm growing well. I'm married to a beautiful, talented, spiritual woman, Mimi. Amen. And I have a great, beautiful daughter, Maya, who's a disciple also here. I also have two sons, one that's married, and they gave us our first grandchild, Hanif, and another, Naeem. And our theme for this month has been be giving. Why? Because we be giving. Amen. The title of my message is It Is Better to Give Than to Receive. And how do we do that? Well, through the gift of giving ourselves in service to God and the church. And why do we do it? Well, because Jesus did. Now, my first point is serving is about altitude. The definition of altitude is the vertical elevation of an object above a surface. So if you're on Earth and you want to go, if you're down on the ground, you want to go to Mount Everest, which way do you have to go? Up. If you want to get to the moon, you got to go up. If you want to get to heaven, you got to go up. But the altitude gets higher and higher. And heaven, we can't get to on our own. So we need to be elevated, right? Well, we have elevation in a job. We have elevation in a school, in a sport. And it's a means of us moving up, a means of us succeeding. How many of you have ever seen the Jeffersons? Okay. Well, then you can help me out with this. Their theme is moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on up to the east side. We're gonna get that piece of the pie. Amen. Yeah. Now, suppose that song was moving on down. It'd have a whole different flavor to it, wouldn't it? I'm moving on down to the ground. Yeah. But, you know, when we talk about being a servant, it's like talking about moving on down, isn't it? You know, when we talk about servant, it connotes being less than, being lower than, being inconsequential. And so I'm going to give you a definition of servant. A person employed or used as an instrument in accomplishing set purposes, performing menial tasks, and is a subject to commands, who voluntarily serves another, ministers to the needs of another, makes painful sacrifices in compliance with the weakness or wants of others. What a glowing endorsement for those of us in the modern ambitious social climbing of today. Right? Right after that, you'd be running out to be a servant, wouldn't you? I don't think so. You know, but in Romans 12:1, Paul has a different viewpoint. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And one of the best ways that we can make good on that offer is through giving. One of the most valuable things we can do is give of ourselves, of our time, our talents, our energy serving others in the body of Christ, becoming living sacrifices everywhere we go. In Matthew 20, 26, it says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And this is from Jesus. You see, Jesus knew that the way up was down. You know, Jesus came down to earth, right? The most notable example of his servanthood was the washing of his disciples' feet. On the day before his crucifixion, you know, Jesus was focused. It says in John 13, verse 2, it says, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and he shook the world. No, he wrapped a towel around his waist. He took off his outer clothing, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. The man with all the power in the world, he says, everything was under your power, and he's getting ready to be crucified the next day, and he stops eating his meal. I don't know any single brother that would stop eating his meal before he's done, unless it was an emergency. But Jesus did that, and then he got down and he washed the disciples' feet. Now, back then, people wore sandals, so their feet were filthy, dirty, and probably smelly as well. They're fishermen. So he did that instead of doing some great work that people could remember him by. Well, this was a great work. And afterwards, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You see, Jesus knew that we needed to have the heart of a servant. Jesus was all about giving. This season is all about giving, right? Giving gifts to one another. But there are other ways that we can give the gift of service. Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. My second point is serving about attitude. In Philippians 2, verses 4 through 7, Philippians 2, 4 through 7, none of you should look out for your own good. Each of you should look out for the good of others. As you deal with one another, you should think and act as Jesus did. In his very nature, he was God. Jesus was equal with God, but Jesus didn't take advantage of that fact. Instead, he made himself nothing. He did this by taking on the nature of a servant. Get this, in the scripture it says that he had the very nature of God, yet he took on the nature of a servant. You see, washing feet was like the lowliest thing a servant can do. Jesus didn't come down to make himself big. He came down to make himself small, small enough to reach into our hearts. So, the Son of Man, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom to many. So, in Luke 17, 10, it says, you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. That is the attitude of a servant. Well, do you aim to please God with your gift of service? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of things to think about. Don't do it for personal glory. Because in Matthew 6, 1, it says, if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You should do it with zeal to give. In Romans 12, 8, it says, give encouragement. Give generously. Do it diligently. Do it cheerfully. He says, do it with your whole heart in Ephesians 6, 7. As if you were serving the Lord, not people. Do it with humility, Colossians 3, 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. As a result of serving in this way, when you see Jesus, and you will see him, I hope he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Yes, it is better to give and then receive God's reward. My third point is serving is about gratitude. And Psalm 116:16 says, truly, I am your servant, Lord. You have freed me from my chains. I serve because I am grateful for what God has done for me. That God sent his son down to this earth, not just to receive gifts, but he gave us the gift of life, eternal life, the gift of serving others. And I am grateful that God has given me a chance to recover my life. I served in the church because I saw other people serving. I saw Dave Martin singing, Harry Mullen, CR. I saw Julius Owens giving counsel and always with a smile. I saw Sean Bowen restoring people's faith after 2003, whose hearts were broken. I saw Wilner Cornelly, who is a tireless servant for God, just giving always. And I saw Sam Powell, his example as a husband and as a father and as an evangelist. And we all know that. But I also saw Ron Bullins, a little nondescript brother who did everything outside of the ministry but carved his way into making a hospital ministry. See, I've served in the church every year since I became a disciple. I was an usher, a counter, I was on the safety team, I was a singer, a church event planner, a mentor to single brothers, engaged couples, married couples, a deacon, children's ministry leader, Bible talk leader, and currently serving as a facilitator in the Chemical Recovery Fellowship, the daytime ministry, the Mighty Men of God group, and my own life group. All labors of love. In Acts 20:35, Paul said, in everything I did, I showed that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm also currently overseeing our talented and hardworking devoted service teams. And I would like all of you, when you hear your service team, just to stand up and remain standing until I tell you to sit down. The A team, the administrative team, with Harold Rhodes and Nettie Bent and TJ. The translation team with Lisa Dial and Angelo De Leon. The safety team, okay? If you're on the safety team, the stand-up, the lead is led by Howard Glover. The money count team, if you're counting money, the co-leaders are Paul Yoder and Derek Clay. So everyone, if you're on any of those teams, stand on up. The worship team, led by Dave Martin. If you're on the worship team, come on, stand on up. The audio-visual team, led by Harry Mullen. If you're on the audio-visual, stand up. The usher team, including Nettie's greeters, co-leaders Jerome and Helen Lynch, Dexter and Joan Walsh, stand on up. And if you're in the children's ministry, you're taught in the children's ministry, led by Daryl and Lisa, stand on up. If you served in any other ways in the church, in Hope, and E-Bulletin, and Breakfast Run, and Camp, Bible Talk leader, Life Group leader, stand up as well. We want to thank you for your great service to God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Right now, we're going to have some of our devoted church servants come out and share what they love about serving. Dexter and Joan Walsh, Paul Yoder, Jeff and Geneva McAllister, and Harry Mullen. Thank you.
Well, it's just Dexter Walsh. Good morning. I'm Dexter Walsh. My wife is sick today, so she's not going to be here with me. I've been a disciple for 28 years, so that's why you get to came out first, you know. But been around for 28 years. I've done a lot of jobs in the church or serve on different team. And it's a joy at times, and sometimes it's a struggle. But I think most of all, I think the scripture that Kevin just shared said, "More blessed to give than to receive." I have personally experienced that spiritually and also physically. I think the main thing about serving, the team that I served on recently, I served, me and my wife, we serve on the teen ministry. We did that for a while. We had fun with those kids. Well, they're men and women now. And we also serve in the usher. We've been being usher, leading the usher for at least 13 years. I can't remember how long. And it's fun. And I mean, we read the, you know, some of the, I remember one sister came to me and one time, like, and she said, you know what? When we were meeting at SUNY Purchase, she said, when I walk into service, she got baptized and it was later on, like 2 years later, she came to me and she said, I remember the first time I came to church. I just heard that you guys were meeting there, and the minute I walk in, you greet me, and I came back the next week. She studied the Bible. She and her family, she got baptized. I had no idea that I had anything to do with any of that. So we did that, and so it's been good. It's been good to be a part of the serving team. But one of my best jobs is that 1 year after camp, I came home, and a single mom came to me, and she said, Dexter, will you be a big brother for my son? And I was like, well, I don't know, but let me talk to my wife. I'll get back to you. And so the next week I get back to her, I say, yes, I'll do it. And like everything else, it's a struggle. And over the years, I've been a big brother for that kid, and now he's a man. And it was a pleasure. I remember his mom called me and said, hey, listen, I'm going to meet the principal and the teachers because he's acting up at school. Can you come? I'm there and I'm sitting. I'm like, what am I doing here? And the other guy said, well, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, it's been one of my more joyful things that I did in the church. And later on, he grew up. He became a man. He left the church. He became a man, and he went off. And I lost touch with him. And about a year later, I got a phone call, a weird phone call from somebody, unlisted number. And he said, you're Ian Walsh, right? Yes. Well, I'm calling you because I can't get in touch with so-and-so. And he put down your name as a big brother, as an emergency contact, because we can't reach... We can't reach him. And I was so amazed that even after all these years, he was still filling out application with my name on it as a big brother. And to this day, we still have that relationship. And this is where the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I said, don't ever stop doing what you do. And don't do it out of any obligation, but do it because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. If any of you don't know me, I'm Paul Yoder, and I was asked to talk, as the rest of us were, about service in the kingdom. Now, as I think about serving, for me, I have a contrary sort of mind. It helps me to think about how service can go wrong. So I have a story about that, but as I get to that story, would you be making your way in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6? Now, the story about what went wrong is 35 years ago, nothing to do with the church. I had a little car accident, and the primary damage was on the driver's side near the front wheel. Took it into a dealer. It was a fairly new car, so I took it in to let the dealer fix it. Everything would be done perfectly, right? Wrong. When I got it back, it seemed to me that the steering was a little bit stiffer than I was expecting, but, you know, you get used to that after driving it a few days, and so I drove maybe 3 or 4 months, and then I noticed there was something kind of funny, maybe attached to the front tire. So I went to feel back there, and I felt the steel belt prickling my fingers. The belt was literally falling out of the tire because the rubber was all worn off. What the dealership had done was to set the front tires to be towing out severely so that it would go straight down the road, and that it did, but obviously this was not fixed right. But this was four months after the fact. I ended up buying a new set of tires, and I took it to a frame straightening guy, and what he showed me with a tape measure was that the wheelbase, the distance from the rear wheel to the front wheel on the driver's side, was 1 inch less than on the passenger side, which hadn't been damaged. How the dealer failed to notice that, well, one can only wonder. But this is an example of service. It's an example of service that I don't hold up for imitating, but it's an example of service that maybe we can spring off of to figure what we ought to be doing within the kingdom. In the early church, I find in Acts chapter 6 that there was a problem in the church. The church was trying to meet human needs with some of the poor people, serving food to them, but the food wasn't getting distributed equitably. And so the apostles put their heads together, and with the input of the Holy Spirit and the church as a whole, they chose seven men. And the key verse I want to get out of that is the story basically is verses 1 to 6, but the most important part is verse 3b. It says, and this is the apostle speaking, "We will turn this responsibility over to them, the seven." So one of the ways that service happens in the church is a little like the service teams concept here, where the church leadership identifies needs and it picks people to serve on teams to meet those needs. Very well and fine. That's one way it happens. That's not the only way it happens. But if you do have a duty conferred upon you or recommended to you, then the righteous thing to do is to embrace it. And that is something that doesn't always come naturally. It doesn't always come naturally to me. It's like, do that? I don't have that talent. You know what I mean. Second model that I see in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 9. And here we have Peter on, I guess it's his first missionary journey from Jerusalem down to the Mediterranean coast. And the story is verses 36 to 43. I strongly recommend that you read the whole passage. It's 9, 36 to 43. But again, we don't really have time for that. So, taking 36b and 39b, I get something like this. Dorcas, this is our heroine, was always doing good and helping the poor. All the widows stood around Peter, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. There was no service team of seamstresses that had been designated by Peter or any other church leader. They had to explain to Peter why he should be concerned about Dorcas and her untimely death. Peter raises her from the dead, and there's great rejoicing in the church because her overflowing heart of generosity could continue to serve God and serve the church. So I see in the New Testament model, there are acts of service that are kind of mandated and that we have to embrace because the leadership sees a need and we get called upon to help fill that need. There's also instances where our own initiative is called upon. And really, those are not mutually exclusive. Even if you're called to be a counter, there can still be innovations that you do to make the process smoother. And in fact, Derek accomplished one of those here a couple years ago. There's this horrible process of writing out names and addresses for checks, long story. But he managed to get the church office to agree that we could use pre-printed names and addresses so the counters don't have to write them out every week. Great progress. Individual initiative. So as I look, I see, we need to embrace duty assignments for God. We need to take personal initiative in making things better. But we have a part, but so does God. And for this, I would go to the same passage that Kevin was preaching from, Philippians chapter 2. But a little bit further on, we get to verses 12b and 13. And what it says there is, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's our part. Am I doing a good enough job of serving? I don't think that Honda dealer's employees were suffering with fear and trembling. And here's the second part, here's God's part. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. And that is an amazing realization from Paul. It was God that worked in Dorcas's heart to give her both the will and the actions to fulfill that will so she could serve. There's innumerable instances. When I first moved to Westchester, I had a housemate who made an open promise, I think just to the sisters, but I'm sure a brother could have taken him up on it too. If you don't know how to change the oil in your car, I will show you. And from that day forward, you will be responsible and take care of your oil so you don't have the engine freeze up. An example of individual initiative. Well, as I reflect on this, I find it very encouraging, because when you realize that you're doing things and carrying out works and even reflecting a will in your heart that came from God, there's something about that that is encouraging to a troubled heart. Thank you so much.
Hello, church. I'm Jeffrey McAllister, and this is my beautiful wife, Geneva.
Hi, everyone. My name is Geneva, as he said, and I've been a disciple for 17 years. And so within that time, I was in the Harlem ministry for maybe like 14 years. And so when I was baptized, I would say 5 months of my baptism, I started serving in the children's ministry. And I've served in children's ministry for 10 years. So the first 3 years, I was leading the infant class, which is really crazy. And then after that, I was leading the preteen class. I went from infants to preteens for 5 years after that. And then after that, I went to the second and third grade. And it was great because I was reluctant in teaching any kind of kids because I'm like, me and kids, we just don't do well. But when I was there, I put my whole heart into it. I didn't want to just give it half-heartedly and just to think that I'm just doing it because I'm there. I did everything. I bought supplies. I mapped out lessons. I just gave my heart into teaching the kids because I felt like they deserve the best. And so after that, I went into the AV team. And this is all in Harlem, when I was in Harlem. And the AV team is great because I already work on computers. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. And even what I didn't know, I was able to learn. And so learning these things has added to what I know. Even I take this outside of the church, I go to work and I know certain things. And when my IT team is like, oh, we have this and that, I understand the lingo, I understand the language. I'm like, yeah, you can do this and that and that and the other. And so they look at me like, how do you know this? I'm like, ha, the church. I know everything through the church. And so from the AV team, when I got engaged to my husband, I came over to Lower Westchester and I tried to get into the AV team there. And the guys was kind of reluctant. They was like, oh, I don't know. So I had to fight, pray, cry, like all these things I needed to do to be a part of the AV team in Lower Westchester. And so finally they gave in and said, okay, she can do it. And then I showed them the things that I was able to do. They was really surprised and I was like, woohoo. So that was great. And in addition to serving in these particular areas in the church, I also serve with weddings, and I help coordinate with weddings and parties and decorate and all these great things. And so I just feel like I'm learning so much being in a church, and I take it from here outside. And my coworker, who was just getting, she got married 3 years ago, she asked me to help her in her wedding, and I'm looking like, well, what do you want me to do? She goes, I don't know, I just need you to help. So I'm like, okay, fine. So everything that I've learned with serving in weddings and just being with just people who led everything, I just incorporated everything and helped her with her wedding. So I literally coordinated her wedding. And it was just me, and I was pulling family members, like, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. You know, it was just something that God just blessed me with to do. And so they were shocked because everything was going wrong at her wedding. I mean, the best man dropped out, the grandmother peed on herself. I mean, people was arguing and everything was going wrong, but I stayed calm. I was like, don't worry about it. Only thing I need is a bride and groom and a witness and a preacher. That's all I need. So the family was super shocked. I mean, I stayed calm. I everything went well at the end. And she, three weeks ago, she told me, she goes, my family don't understand how you pulled it off, but they're so grateful for you. And I'm like, really? She was like, yes. She goes, they still talk about you to this day. And it's been 3 years now. And I'm like, oh, cool. So, you know, just knowing that I'm able to serve and put a smile on someone else's face and just not Because when you serve, sometimes you get tired, and I understand that. But it's not just sitting back and just doing nothing. You can't just serve and stop and just don't do anything for the next 3-4 years. Find something else you like to do and do it. I mean, there's so many things in the kingdom that you can do, and it's not just about ushering. I know I do usher too. It's not just about ushering and the children ministry and the AV team. There's so many other things that we can do to help one another. And not only that, it adds to who you are as an individual. And so you don't know who you're able to help out because of that, and you don't know how people are looking at you. So for me in my life, I feel like if I go out any other way, I want to be known as being the person who served the most.
Hey, great job, honey. Well, you know, like I said, my name is Jeffrey. I've been around for 20 years tomorrow. So, you know, I joined the church way back in the Bronx when we was like a whole different level of serving. You know, you came in, we were just out meeting people. But now, since I've been incorporated in Westchester for the last couple of years, we've been serving. And I feel like when you serve, it's your church. I feel like everything that has to go on over here behind the scenes is so, you know, it just motivates you to want to do more. I mean, I do a lot of things between sound and also teaching and the children ministry where I make great kids. The kids in the children ministry are so great. I mean, I look at the triplets, John, Adrian, and AD. I mean, when them guys, they growing up to be great people, and, you know, they're making two of them disciples. We got another one, hopefully. Woo, good stuff. But anyway, all of that, the state of this, that comes from us serving other people. And as we serve, they see what we do. I have them come back and say, hey, can I help? I help the teens count. So, you know, whatever we can do to make this church better, that's what me and Geneva and I do. So we did have a scripture, but I don't know what happened to that. But anyway, all of that to say this is serving is the best thing that you could do in the church. That's all I have to say.
How do you follow that? Good morning. My name is Harry Mullen. I've been a Christian for 30 years, clean and sober for 30 years. And I hope you're applauding Jesus on that one, because it wasn't thanks to me. I've served probably in every area of the church, pretty much, except the women's ministry. I haven't done anything there. But maybe next year, 2019. Been in teaching, teens, ushering, counting, AV, CR, leadership, hope, outreach, et cetera, et cetera. Share two scriptures with you really quickly. Exodus 28:3, it says, tell all the skilled workers to whom I have given wisdom in such matters that they are to make garments for Aaron for his consecration so that he may serve me as priest. When Aaron became priest, God gave wisdom in such matters for people to make garments. God gives us wisdom today. God has taught us many different things. His expectation is that we use them to serve him. I was trained in television production. I was trained as an audio engineer. I'm doing AV. You know, do I love getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning? No, I'm not crazy about it. It'd be very easy for me to tell Alexa, wake me up in an hour. But I come in here in the morning because serving God is really important to me. There's another scripture I wanted to share, Matthew 25:21. It says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What Jesus requires from us is to serve. It says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. When we sacrifice, when I sacrifice, it pleases God. And that's how I can glorify God, by my sacrifice. And I just want to encourage you to paraphrase John F. Kennedy. Ask not what your church can do for you, but ask what you can do for your church. Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. We know that the best gift that we can give to God and the church is ourselves, Lord. We praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Amen.